Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. As I say every week, I will remind you again, if you ever hear anything on our program that you would desire a copy of, the CDs are free. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Or you can email me at pastorshowalter@aol.com, and we will make sure that you get your message that you desire. Before we get to our study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you tonight, today, this morning, Lord, asking your blessing upon what we are about to consider here in the book of Revelation again. Father, with all that's going on in our world, these points are so pertinent. Lord, they are so much needed to be understood. Father, for we can see things being set up in our world today as getting ready for that kingdom of the Antichrist. So, Lord, I pray your anointing will be upon me today and upon our listeners, Lord, that our hearts and our minds will be wide open and teachable by the Spirit of God. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. And if you have a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to open your Bible to Revelation chapter 6. That's where we are at. This is the study. We're working our way through the book of Revelation, but this is part 3 of the seal judgments. Very interesting study here. I want to get you to the introduction today, if I could. In the last two messages, we've been looking at Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And in those verses, we saw Jesus open the first of the seals on the scroll. This started what is known as the tribulation, or the 70th week of Daniel. The first seal brought forth a rider on a white horse. He had a bow and a crown, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This rider is none other than the Antichrist himself, who will come on a scene immediately following the rapture of the church. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and then verses 6 and 7. Paul wrote this. He said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And now, verse 6, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Now, verse 7 is very important. We are told there that there is a restraining power that comes from a person. I'll read the verse again. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth," and that word "letteth" there means restrains, "only he who now restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way." So the restrainer today is the Holy Spirit. But after the rapture of the church, Satan will be free to bring forth his masterpiece, who will be the Antichrist, bring him on the scene. Now, the last time we were together here in this book, we looked at the Antichrist in some deep detail, but we did not by any means exhaust the study about him. We will gather more truth on him as we work our way through the book of Revelation, especially whenever we get to Revelation chapter 13, but we're not there yet. We are in chapter 6. So in our study today, we're going to move on in the seal judgments. And before we move on, however, there's something which I need to remind you about, because it will help us to understand the verses which are coming up. We looked at how the Antichrist will be a counterfeit of Jesus Christ when he comes. He will come on a scene and he will gain power and authority through diplomacy and not through force. He will enter into a covenant with the nation of Israel and he will promise to protect them from their enemies. And in doing so, he will be setting himself up to deceive Israel into thinking he is their Messiah. Now, Daniel 9:27, now listen to this. It says this about the Antichrist, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So when the Antichrist comes, he will establish a covenant with the nation of Israel, but not with all of them. He will establish a covenant with many, the Bible says, with many of them, not with all of them. What you got to understand is this, that two-thirds of the nation will perish during the tribulation period. They will fall into deception. One-third will be saved, and they will be brought through the fire, and they will be saved. Okay, but two-thirds are going to be deceived. I say this, that this deception, that this covenant will be confirmed whenever it says with many, no doubt it's probably referring to the two-thirds. It's not referring to all of them. Apparently there are going to be some that see through this guy and see him for who he really is. Now, let me remind you of a promise which God had made to the nation of Israel. In Ezekiel 34:25-28, it says, and I will make with them a covenant of peace. Okay, this is God's promise to Israel. I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them in the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bonds of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that served themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey or to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. So now listen, God has promised to the nation of Israel peace and safety. He has promised that he will establish a covenant with them, and under that covenant they will have peace and they will have safety. So I believe it is this covenant which the Antichrist makes with Israel that is the counterfeit of the true covenant that God has promised to make. And the Antichrist will make it not with all of them, because some of them aren't going to buy into what he's got, but he will make it with many. And I think that's the two-thirds that will perish. Now, let us get to the next seal, seal number two. Watch, if you would, chapter 6 of Revelation 3 and 4. This is going to connect with what I just told you. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And it was given unto him a great sword. Okay, now hold on a second. Here we see the second horseman of the apocalypse. The first horse was white, which spoke of peace and victory. This horse, however, is red, and this horse speaks of bloodshed. This horse and its rider are given power to take peace from the earth. This horse and its rider are connected with Satan's plan to deceive the nations of Israel with the counterfeit peace treaty. God will not permit Satan to duplicate his promise. So what we see here is God confusing evil by sending war upon the earth. Let me get you an application, if I could. There's something here that's very important for us to grasp. When Satan sends out a counterfeit, there will always be something which marks it as being a counterfeit. Normally, there will be confusion with the counterfeit. As an example of this today, one of the examples of this today would be, I believe, the charismatic gifts such as speaking in tongues, healing, and miracles. These gifts no longer exist, but today Satan has counterfeited these gifts, and where these counterfeits have been practiced, there's been a whole lot of confusion among God's people. And so that confusion, then God's not the author of confusion, and so then therefore that confusion marks it as a counterfeit. If it's not perfectly in agreement with God's word, it is not of God. It's not of God. and it's going to bring confusion. And so here you have the Antichrist on the scene, and I believe he is going to make that covenant with many, and he's going to deceive many of the nation of Israel, and God's going to confuse the evil, and he's going to, now there's going to be, with this second seal, there is going to be war. There's going to be war that's going to break out on the face of the earth. Now, let me get you back here to our text and consider something very important. There's a parallel passage with what we're looking at here, and I think we need to take a close look at the parallel passage. It's in Matthew 24, 1 through 3. Listen to the verses. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the world? Now let me just tell you what this is about. In Matthew 24, Jesus teaches his disciples about the 70th week of Daniel, or the 70 years of tribulation, to show the accuracy, now listen to this, to show the accuracy of what he would teach them as he foretold of the destruction of the temple. He tells in detail what is going to happen, that there will not be one stone left upon another. Now, the stones of the temple were massive stones, and the disciples, in their minds, they couldn't comprehend how or why they would ever be taken apart. That made no sense to them. Some of those stones were upwards of 50 feet long and 12 feet high and 12 feet thick. For them to think that there would not be one stone left upon another was hard for them to fathom. Why would anybody take the temple apart? Why would anybody turn over these stones? Why would they do that? But Jesus foretold of the destruction of the temple because he wanted them to understand how accurate his words were. So with that said, now let me read a historical account of what happened when the Romans attacked Jerusalem and the temple was destroyed. How did it, why would the stones ever be pried apart? Why would there not be stones? Why would the temple ever be destroyed? Listen to this, and I quote, when the Romans came to the city in AD 70, it was divided among three warring factions of Jews who were so at each other's throats that they paid no heed to the approach of the Romans. Thus Titus came up and surrounded the city while it was distracted by its own internal warfare. The Romans assaulted the walls again and again and gave every opportunity to the Jews to surrender and save their capital from destruction. During the long siege, a terrible famine raged in the city, and the bodies of the inhabitants were literally stacked like cordwood in the streets. Mothers ate their children to preserve their own strength. The toil of Jewish suffering was horrible, but they would not surrender the city. Again and again they attacked to trick the Roman. They attempted to trick the Romans through guile or deliberate breach of trust. When at last walls were breached, Titus tried to preserve the temple by giving orders to his soldiers not to destroy or burn it. But the anger of the soldiers against the Jews was so intense that, maddened by the resistance they encountered, they disobeyed the order of their general and set fire to the temple. There were quantities of gold and silver in the temple, which had been placed there for safekeeping. This gold and silver melted and ran down between the stones of the temple. And when the soldiers captured the temple area, in their greed to obtain this gold and silver, they took long bars, listen to this, and they pried apart the massive stones. Thus, there was not one stone left upon another. The prophecy of Jesus was fulfilled to the very word, end quote. Jesus foretold of that temple destruction to show his disciples and to show you and I how accurate his words are. So listen to this. Listen to this. He was showing the accuracy of Matthew 24 and 25. So now let me read for you Matthew 24, 4 through 8. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. They're the beginning. This is the beginning of the tribulation. Listen, this is that second seal that's opened up in Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And let me go back to Matthew 24, verse 8, when he said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. The word sorrows here, it's very important. It speaks of the pain which comes with childbirth. So what Jesus is saying is that these seals which we are looking at are the beginning of birth pangs. The beginning. They're only the beginning. They're the start. Now let us get back to Revelation again. Watch verse 4. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. It's interesting in this verse that we're told that peace is taken from the earth, and that they shall kill one another. This has the idea of a massive slaughter. This will be a time of unmatched bloodshed on the earth. Unmatched when this comes. God will be sure this peace established by the Antichrist is not mistaken for the peace which he promised. We're also told that there was given to the rider not just a sword, but a great sword. Great sword. Because of the massiveness of the slaughter that's going to come. I want you to see something here that's very alarming. The rider carries the sword, but the sword is given to him by God. Let me read the verse again. Verse 4. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. They should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. That is God that gives to him and permits him to carry this great sword. So listen to what I'm going to tell you. God is bringing, at this time, God is bringing judgment upon the earth. When a tribulation begins, there is not one saved person on the earth. You got to remember that. Because the church will be raptured away. There's not one saved person on the earth. Now, because God has been rejected, the world's population underneath this kingdom of the Antichrist, and because of the release of the demonic forces, because the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, is moved, the population will be quick to turn on one another. People would say, well, how could that ever happen? But let me just say this. Just look what's happening in our world today with the riots that are going on across the nation in these cities. And look at how people are being killed and businesses are being destroyed. And we're not in the tribulation. There is a restrainer today upon the evil forces. So with that said, I just want you to think about what it's going to be like, a little bit about what it's going to be like when that restrainer is gone and these seals are opened up and this rider is given from God, is given this great sword. When a nation or a world or the world turns its back upon God, one of the judgments is madness. You got to understand that. One of the judgments is madness, which leads to inner turmoil and destruction from the inside out. Listen to Jeremiah 25, 15 through 17. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved. Just hold on to that word for a second, moved. And be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup of the Lord's hand, at the Lord's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me. Let me go back to verse 16 of Jeremiah 25 one more time. It says, and they shall drink and be moved. The word moved here in verse 16 means to be shaken or to reel to and fro. Let me place it in words that we can wrap our minds around. It speaks of instability. It speaks of instability is exactly what it speaks of. Let me read for you a couple of verses from God's word. Ephesians 4:11 through 14. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen to this. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Here in verse 14, we see that those who are not rooted and grounded in the Bible will be very unstable. This is what happens to nations that, who reject God. That's the idea with the word moved in Jeremiah. Instability. Instability is exactly what will take place. Jesus made it very clear that his words will come to pass just as he spoke them. This means the sealed judgments will come just as the Bible foretells. The rapture is the very next thing on God's calendar. And after the rapture, there will not be one person that is saved left on the earth. The demonic world will have the restraints lifted and the 70th week of Daniel will begin. The Antichrist will step up into a position of great authority and power. There will be a peace which will be established, but it will not last very long. Wars will begin to break out, and these will be just the beginning of the birth pangs. There will be massive murder and bloodshed. This is what's coming in the future. Let me just say this. This is what we're seeing as a prelude today. The events of our world today are a prelude to what is coming. It's a prelude. I want to show you what is already here. Our nation has turned away from God, and we're starting to see this go on. This madness. One man has said this, that God must judge a nation while it exists, for there's no resurrection for a nation. We consider how God deals with nations, those who have turned from him by turning them over to instability and madness and destruction so that they destroy themselves from the inside out. We're seeing that occur today here in our own nation. The USA is a nation that is divided over many things. I love our nation. I love the freedoms that we have here. The liberties that we have here. But we're seeing it go away. We're seeing people destroy our nation for no reason whatsoever. The point is, things are not getting better. They're getting worse. And on top of all of that, the world is headed towards the tribulation period. If you don't think that's the case, just let me remind you about something. Whenever the Antichrist sets up his kingdom, it's going to be a global kingdom. There is such a push for a global economy today. Such a push. Many people hate Donald Trump because he is a nationalist. His theme that he ran on was make America great again. They hate it. They want to tear down all the borders because they are globalists. And Satan is behind the globalists and he is pushing for this one world government, just like he did back in the book of Genesis in the days of Nimrod. It's no different today. He's pushing for that global economy. We know how God feels about that because look what he did back at the Tower of Babel. But he is letting this go on because this is setting the stage for the coming of the Antichrist. It's like a chess match. And all the pieces are being set on the board. and the match is about to start. We don't know when the rapture will take place. We don't know that. It could happen before I finish this message out. But it could also, we could also go for a long time. And you and I might actually see, we won't see the Antichrist because he can't come until after the church is raptured away. But we may see the establishment of the global economy. We may see the United States and our constitutional rights all get stripped away and the whole world come underneath a global economy. Very well could happen if the Lord tarries. We don't know that. We don't know that. I know this. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to know Jesus Christ. You're a sinner, and your sin has to be paid for. It has to be paid for. The Bible is very clear. It says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The Bible is also clear that if you die in your sins, the next thing you're going to face is the judgment. Christ died for you. Jesus Christ loves you, and he died for you, and he gave his life for you. And in 1 Corinthians 15:3, it says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. Your responsibility is to repent and accept him as your Savior. That's your responsibility. That's what you need to do. God offers that to you today, but that offer may not always be there. It may not always be there. Listen, our world's headed for a terrible time. Terrible time. And you need to be saved. I'm out of time today. But I want to thank you for joining us today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Again, I will remind you, if you ever desire any of our messages on CD, they are available. They're also on our website on claysburgbiblechurch.com. But all you need to do, if you want a copy of a CD, you just write to us and request the CD. Make sure you include the date of the program that you desire. And write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That is Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.